And then it takes some practice because you've got to hold your thumb still. But I was like, oh, that's kind of good. And I don't have to wash off ink now. Well, how convenient is that?
Live from the basement, it's Building a Better Dave. Check us out at betterdave.com. Email us at dave@betterdave.com. Or call in your comments, 888-563-3228. Now, here's your host, Dave Jackson.
All right. Welcome to Building a Better Dave. I'm Dave. And if you're new to the program, boy, did you pick a fun time to start. Go back and listen to the last three episodes. I'm talking about 2010. And people were kind of like, Dave, why aren't you putting out podcasts? And it's because, well, my life kind of took a lot of bad turns. And today I'm going to tell you, and I'm trying to figure out if this is the worst day of my life. Because number one has been the day my mom died. And it's a tough call. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to cry in the middle of this podcast. I'm trying to hold my act together. But we last left off with our hero, Dave Jackson. And again, let me do this disclaimer. What you're going to hear in this podcast is my opinion. It is my version of a story that is my truth based on my feelings and my thoughts and my history. And while I'm not lying to you, it may not be entirely accurate. So I had sat in the police station parking lot and prayed, and I didn't hear an answer from God, and I took that as okay. And I went in and explained how I had tackled my wife onto a bed and held her down to apologize. And I had gone in and told them that, and they basically arrested me. I didn't get to see my wife leave the police station. I don't think so. These are 11-month-old memories, which is the interesting thing, because I have to explain, which is probably what's going to get me in trouble. I'm explaining how I felt then, not how I feel now, because I'm a different person than I was on November 27th. And he said, if you could stand while I read you your rights. And you hear those on TV. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to remain blah, blah, blah. You have the right to an attorney if one cannot be blah, blah. And you make it through about three of those before your brain goes, are you kidding me? This isn't happening. You have the right to blah, blah, blah. Are you serious? No. Hold the fort. You don't understand, sir. I'm Dave Jackson. Everybody likes me. You have the right to blah, blah, blah. Can we go back a second? Because you must be missing something. Can I just talk to you for a little bit? No, it's too late. And you only have you to blame. So they walk me back because there's the police station, and then unbeknownst to me, there was a jail in the back. And they took my coat. They took all my stuff. And I had to get fingerprinted, being the criminal that I was now. And I remember when I was in elementary school, if you went on a field trip. Now remember, children, you're representing Hatton School. So be on your best behavior. And I kept apologizing, saying, please realize not all Christians are like this. I had let down the team my actions were not that of Christ. And of course, the geek in me went, oh, look, you mean I don't have to put my thumb in ink anymore? No, you just, there's this electronic thing and you just run your thumb over it and it basically scans your fingerprint. Really? How cool is that? And then it takes some practice because you've got to hold your thumb still. But I was like, oh, that's kind of, and I don't have to wash off ink now. Well, how convenient is that? And of course, the sarcasm is running wild as I ask for an 8x10 glossy and some wallets of my mugshot. And as they handed me my garb, and I was glad because, you know, orange is, I'm not a fall kind of color person. It was black and white stripes. And I remember saying, you know, if I could keep it later, you know, and they actually don't let you keep your clothes. I was kind of bummed. And, you know, you get to make one phone call. And again, it's weird. Who do you call? And I picked up my phone and saw that my battery was almost dead. It wasn't orange, it was red, which means you've got probably about 4 minutes, 5 minutes of phone call before this thing is dead. So I called my brother and got his machine and left probably what was the weirdest answering machine message in the history of answering machine message. Hi, I'm going to jail, but I'm okay. And then it dawned on me that this was Sunday, and I have to be at work tomorrow. And luckily, I had my boss's cell phone in my phone, and I called him. And instead of just saying, I don't feel good, because at this point, I have no idea how long I'm going to be in here, I told him the truth. That I was in jail or about to go to jail. And he was like, well, okay, well, keep me posted. And so I strutted down the catwalk of the Rocky River Jail in my newly black and white striped duds. And, you know, horizontal stripes are not slimming. And they escorted me to my cell. And they have two cells in the jail. And they are something like 9x6. And can I tell you that that's not a whole lot of space? And then there are two cells inside of a bigger cell. And so there were two doors, and I was in I actually think there were three cells, and I was in the middle one, and nobody else was in there. And there was a hallway, you know, that you would walk through to get to each door. And I now have a newfound understanding of the lion at the zoo, who just paces across the front of his cage back and forth. And back and forth. And they had a TV. Well, I don't have TV at home, so I turned it on, and Sunday Night Football was on. The Indianapolis Colts were playing somebody, and so I went to sit down on my bunk, because I could almost see the TV from there. And the bedding was made of plastic. And the pillow was made of plastic. So the minute you put your head on the pillow, it would basically squirt out underneath your head. And I remember thinking, well, that's not very cool. And there was one blanket there, so there are no real sheets. And I'm a person that likes to be in control. I don't like surprises. And the fact that I had no control at this point besides what channel to watch on TV... And I was like, what do? I want to be productive. Just sitting here is going to drive me crazy. So I started to put my hands on the bed and started doing dips. I started doing pull-ups. I started doing push-ups. I'm like, well, at least we can get our 10,000 steps in a day. And I just paced and paced and paced it was probably an 8-foot hallway, watching the game, trying to keep my mind off the fact that I was in jail. And, they brought me a glass of water. And I would go to the door, and you could see the hallway of the police station, but there wasn't really anything to look at except a clock that suddenly had moved incredibly slow. And so I watched the game, and it wasn't a very good game, and I'm going through the channels, and I'm just like, okay, God, what do you want now? Now what? What do you want me to learn here? Because all things will be used to glorify God. I'm not seeing this one right now, but I'm still on your team. And then about halfway through the third quarter, I don't know what time it was, but it was time for lights out. And they pulled this thing over the door so you can't see through the bars anymore. So I lost the view of the hallway, and I lost the view of the clock, and I had to go into my little cell. I wasn't, basically my cell went from being a T where I was pacing back and forth across the top of the T. I just now had my little cell. And the idea was to try to sleep now. And they turned off some of the lights, but not all the lights, which drives me nuts. I usually sleep in pitch black darkness. And so I kind of maneuvered the pillow and tried to get it to where I could put my head on it. And I laid there and pondered the activities of the day. I had started off the day in a suit, praising God for the lovely blessings that He had brought my way, and for my wife, and for my kids, and just things going right. And in the blink of an eye, I had thrown it all away, pretty much, not knowing that's what I was doing at the time. And the first time I did a sermon at my church, it was What My Mother Meant to Me, and it was delivered on Mother's Day. And it was the one that launched my want-to-be-a-pastor career. And I remember this one woman came up to me and said, oh, Davey, your mother has to be so proud. And I hadn't really thought of that. And I went, I hope so. And I thought, I bet my mom would be proud that I'm trying to be a pastor. My mom died when she was 58 years old, and at this point has been gone for 20 years. I wasn't alone in that cell, and this is where I'm going to sound crazy, and this is probably where I'm going to cry. But I put my head on the pillow. And that voice I was waiting to hear in the parking lot. I was waiting for God to answer a prayer. Well, there was a new voice in my head. And without making too weird a joke about it, You know, Vincent Price on the Thriller album has that deep voice and yeah, kind of thing. And so I sat there in the calmness and the just essence of time ticking by, and a voice popped into my head and it said, "Oh, Davy, your mother must be so proud." And I went, "Oh, good. Satan's here. Wonderful." And I can't get out. And if you don't believe in the devil, I am here to tell you. Whew. He's very real. And he said some of the most vile things to me to convince me that the silver spoon that was Dave Jackson is now tarnished. And he pointed out things like, you know, remember that time when you were at the church thing and they did the three-legged race with the father and sons, and you know, your dad was never there for that. Why didn't your dad just get another job? Why did he have to be a long-distance truck driver? And there's that thing in your head that goes, yeah, why not? Because you're thinking in 2011 terms, you know. Back in 72, there was no monster.com. There were no cell phones. And it's hard to be at a job interview when you're 2,000 miles away. And he just brought up example after example to explain to me how I was a piece of crap. And he wouldn't stop. And in an almost 1920s kind of way, what was that guy's name? Edward G. Robinson. "Where's your God now, see? Yeah, where's your God, huh? Didn't come to save the day, did he? Nah, where's your God now, huh?" And trying with everything he had to pry my fingers from my faith. And when I wouldn't relent, he'd find some other skeleton. You know, he'd bring up something where somebody disappointed me. How people didn't show up to my original college graduation because they had to go golfing. To just explain, see, you're worthless. And it was hard at times to argue with him. And I thought about my wife. And I thought about all the years I had prayed to God for kids when I was married the first time and we couldn't have kids. And God had blessed me with a phenomenal family. And I just crapped all over it. And he would just bring up, I don't know how to explain this. Besides, it was just the minute I felt, the minute I would be like, no, I'm one of God's children. I'm God has a plan here. I don't know what it is, but God's got a plan. Wham, it hits you with another one. No, dude, I'm telling you, God's got a plan. Wham, here's another one. No, I'm wham. wham, wham. And this went on for hours. And I was like, okay, seriously, can you take a break? And so then I thought of what, there's a story in the Bible where Satan comes to Jesus and he's been in the wilderness for something like 40 days. I don't know what it is with 40 days in the Bible, 40 days of rain, 40 days Jesus is out in the desert fasting, and Satan comes up and offers him a sandwich, which is, you know, a rather, and he finds you at your most inopportune times and says, oh, by the way, here. And again, he's like, dude, just let go of your faith. What has your faith gotten you now? Let go, let go, let go. And I'm like, no. And so I finally stood up because the pillow had fallen out from underneath my head again. And I stood up to see what pillow was on the top bunk. And I moved the pillow. And there was a Bible. And I went, all right, dude. Now I've got some ammunition. And I went, and oh joy, it's the King James Version, my favorite. And I just opened it up and I started reading and praying. And the voice went away. But man, I don't know if that was hours or minutes. And I don't know what it was like to be in a Vietnam prisoner of war camp or a Nazi prison of war camp or whatever, but dude, that was some nasty stuff. And it was intense. And it seemed relentless. So I laid down and said, all right, God, I'm looking up. What do you want me to do? What am I supposed to learn here? And I thought to myself, you know, we talk about Jesus paying the debt and that we are free from our sins. And I think as Christians, we don't realize what it's like to be free. What price has been paid and the debt that has been lifted. And I now had a new, completely new understanding of the word free. I went, oh, okay. And I learned that Satan is more evil than you ever thought. I remember the one thing he said. He said, aren't you glad your mom's not alive? To see this? And I had to agree on that one. And that made me really want to just to go, yeah, I guess I am glad my mom's dead. They say there's a verse in the Bible that your loved ones are leaning over the balcony of heaven, and I've never found it, and I'm praying it doesn't exist. But he's a nasty dude. He's a really nasty dude. And so eventually, I nodded off, only to be woke up about 3 o'clock by someone who had been pulled over for drunk driving. And I was like, well, that's interesting. You know, we didn't really talk. And in the morning, you know, we had a conversation, blah, blah, blah. And he had explained how he was, you know, what had happened. And I said, well, I was married to an alcoholic. And can I just tell you that, without preaching at you, that there are no answers in that bottle. And it does a lot of damage to your life if you let it. So take this as a wake-up call and try to change your life. And I sat there and said, you self-righteous idiot. You're preaching in the jail. And I thought, well, take this opportunity, learn from it, and try to make your life better. They brought me some rubber pancakes to eat. And it finally, when they opened up the door, said 7:30. And I couldn't believe it had only been, whatever, 8 hours since that door had been open, minus the 3 o'clock interruption. And I thought, maybe that's why I'm here. Maybe I'm here to nudge that guy to put down the bottle. I don't know. But it was almost time to go to court. And we'll talk about that in the next episode. But I want to urge you that realize your actions have consequences. And some things can't be undone. But also know this. You are not your mistakes. There is tarnish on my spoon. And it will be there for at least another year and a half. And I am determined to not let this be my defining moment. My actions on November 28th have steered my life in a direction that I had never planned. And in the same way that there is, you know, the calendar and there's before Christ and after Christ or whatever that goes, right now there's kind of a before November 28th and after November 28th. But I can tell you this, you do not want to go to jail. And this is, you know, white bread, no crime, Rocky River, Ohio, you know, splendid cable package jail with rubber pancakes. It's a very nasty place. And I'm never, ever, ever going back there. And so, pretty much every day, I try to focus on the scripture from Jeremiah 29:11. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And I believe that. To be continued.